But what I realized is time is more valuable than money. Shocker, I know, but it's true. And the extent that you can leverage people, technology, higher income skills, getting better at your unique ability will really help move us forward. It really help you move forward. Welcome to the Path to Passive podcast, where we talk about building wealth and empowering lifestyle through commercial real estate investing for tech professionals. I always wish that other tech professionals reaching financial freedom had documented their journey along the way, so I'm doing it for the rest of us. Join us as we explore stories, many failures, and lessons learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe. Hey, have you decided what kind of investor you want to be? If you don't know what I mean, I'm talking about a passive or an active investor. You've been following along, you know that last week we talked about the syndication strategy. And if you need to hear more about what it is, then I recommend going back and listen to that last episode. Of course, you can still just listen from here and go back afterward. We bring you options here. So in this episode, what we'll be covering is what does it mean to be an active or a passive investor? What are the activities of the active investors and the passive investors? What is the difference? Why would I want to be an active? Why would I want to be a passive? Of course, we're going to do some talking about some pros and cons as well, some quick analysis. We're going to be topping it off with how can you use these strategies? How can you become an active investor? And could you be a passive investor? And could you be both? So with that, hello and welcome to another episode of Path to Passive. This is real estate investing for tech professionals, the guide for tech professionals that want to invest in real estate and get the maximum leverage with their capital to earn income, save on taxes, and build generational wealth. My name is Steven Arita. I'll be bringing you real estate topics and conversations with real estate leaders, entrepreneurs, and myself to provide some tools to start successfully investing and building streams of income. So let's get into the show for today. Today, we're getting into active and passive investing. So let's get into it. The first thing is, what exactly is an active investor? What is that passive investor, right? Steven, how can I know and decide what I want to be if I don't know what these terms actually mean? So let's break it down. Active sounds just like it is. I am doing the activity. These are the active parts of the general partnership team, right? The GPs or the sponsors or part of that team that is making connections in the market, in that geographic area. They're doing underwriting or doing analysis on deals or, you know, properties that come past them. They're making connections with investors as well. They're, you know, working with the property managers, with the energy companies, utility companies, all those types of people. And that's what active is. The passive side seems pretty straightforward, right? You're doing less or no activity. But what comes with that? So the second point is, what are the benefits? It'd be crazy for me to ask you to make a decision on something that you had no information about, right? Being data-driven, being tech professionals, if you have no data, then that really means that the only decision that you'd be doing is one that is random. And we're going to have none of that here, especially in our investing lives. So third point is, I don't know why I would want to be either. So how could I mix these together, right? So after you know the benefits, right, of either or the pros and cons, if you will, the next obvious question is, do I have to pick one or the other? Why not both, right? Steven, I'm not interested in one or the other thing in life. I want both. Look, I agree. I've also come to learn that an and life, you know, and I want strawberry and blueberries instead of I want strawberries or blueberries. That's what I mean. You know, I want to be an active investor and I want to be a passive investor. How can I do that? And I'll touch on these three questions of how you can get started in active, passive, or on the path to both. All right, so let's get into it. Here's the thing. If you tuned in the last week, we covered syndications, a strategy that unlocks how investors can work together to take down much larger deals than if you were just working alone. I also touched on the idea that active investor and passive investor, I touched on this, again, active being the operators, the sponsors, et cetera, and the passive investors being the people that bring capital, but I only introduced these concepts at a high level. So today, we're going a little deeper on this specific topic. So let's get into it. active versus passive. Active investors are those that actively want to be finding deals, or what we call these investments, right? They're doing the analysis like we talked about. They're getting the loans. They're doing the management activities, putting everything it takes to put the deal together. And if you listen to that last episode, then you're going to hear that these are what we consider general partners or GPs. Put that syndication together, or the core members of the analogy that we're using of that cruise ship. You want to hear more about syndications, listen to last episode. But just so you have enough right now, the active investor is doing all those active duties around that boat, right? Operations management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The passive investors, they just invest and sit back and wait for their checks to come in. And what I mean by that is that they have very little activity. You know, they don't have any say. Just being blunt, they don't have any say about what happens in the deal, really. Sometimes the deal will be structured where they can not have voting rights in the management team, but have opinions on what they should be doing. But that is a lot more in depth. But in general, just know that the passive investors, the one, just like the analogy that we covered last week, are buying a ticket to the cruise ship, right? You can, as a passive investor, you'll buy that ticket to the cruise ship and enjoy the benefits that come from it. And that's what I'm talking about. So we covered this briefly last episode, but like I said, we're taking a little bit more time now on the benefits of active and passive. So on the active side, let me ask, have you ever heard of the three T's of real estate? T as in tango. Well, if you haven't heard, these are the tenants, termites, and the toilets, right? Another common one is tenants, taxes, and toilets. But if you've listened to any investors in the past, you've maybe heard them talk about the three T's before. But the point is that you are going to have issues that you have to deal with in investment. It's just the nature of the beast. Anything that gives you some kind of return that's worthwhile comes with some kind of management to it, right? It comes with the territory of being an investor as well. And those that are actively managing real estate. So now, while I say this is more applicable to residential real estate versus, you know, multifamily, because on the multifamily side, on the commercial side, you know, as an operator and manager, you will actually be managing the property is the property manager who's taking care of the day-to-day property operations. Now, if you want to hear more about asset management, shoot me an email or a DM on Instagram, and I'll make sure I get some of your questions. We can make an episode just for that and bring in some high-quality speakers as well. Now, the benefits of the active investors really come down to control and profits. They're part of the management team, so they get to decide what to do with the property, such as how it's managed. But remember, that means the story about the three T's, the tenants, the taxes, and the trash. And the point here is that there are problems that need to be solved, even though the active investors, the GP team, the operator team, may not deal directly with the tenants, right? But they still have to deal with other issues that come up and actively are involved in managing that asset and everything that deals with that property. Now, here's the thing. They do get paid more, and it's fair that they should. They're doing a bunch more, right? Since we're talking benefits, the asset management team is getting paid in different types of ways as well, and that's why. Now, some of the ways is the acquisition fee. This is oftentimes about 1% of the purchase price for the property. The asset management fee, a recurring fee for managing that property for the entire time it is held up until sale or disposition, whatever that exit strategy might be. It could be the management split on the cash flow, meaning this is the money that is generated from the property by the operations itself, right? Part of why we invest in real estate is that we get cash flow from it. And that's what I'm talking about, the split on the cash flow, separate from the fees to manage the property itself. And then capital raising fee, something as well. There may be a role that gets paid for the amount of capital that is raised from investors, such as the passive investors or the LPs, right? These passive investors we talked about are called limited partner LPs as well. So the point I'm making here is that they get paid in multiple different ways compared to the passive investor. And there is a lot more we'll get into that on this topic, but just want to know that the GP team can get paid multiple ways. Now, the team shares in that cash flow. They get to share in tax benefits, such as depreciation as well, and gets to take advantage of sale proceeds once they've improved the value of that property too, right? Everyone gets to share in that. But just calling out that specifically, the GP team does too. Now, I want you to know, in future episodes, I'll be going deeper into deal structure and do a whole episode on what's called the waterfall, which is how money moves through each party and each part of that deal. We need to talk about capital stack, preferred returns, hurdle, split percentages between GP and LPs as well. But I just want to expose you to these concepts now so you hear about it and just know that I'll be covering that in the future. All right. So just like a waterfall, the money starts from the top, right? And goes through the different parties, through the deal. And that's why we call it that waterfall. But in this section, we're just focused on that benefits. So as we talk about passive investors, the passive investors, right, they don't get control, but they do get to share in the appreciation of the asset, the increased value that the GP team who's doing all the operations and managing that asset, this is their primary responsibility, and the passive investors get to share in this, right? The limited partners, the passive investors, do get cash flow, and they will get to share in depreciation, those tax benefits too. Now, talking about pros and cons, you know, benefits here. The limited partners, we have to look at this in this perspective that they do have a limited risk, right? They might have limited control, but they have a limited risk. And why is this important? Limited partners don't sign a loan, and so they are limited, and so is the risk. Meaning if something should happen, that their only thing that they could lose is the capital that they've invested. And you have to understand that from an asset management or asset protection perspective, I'll say that is a plus. Other thing here is that the operator expertise, right? Like remember, you get returns without having to do the work as a passive investor because you're relying on the active investor team. Those operators, they're doing the work. The captains of the ship are the ones that you're leveraging to take advantage of getting return on your own investment. Again, I say operators here because I want you to start getting familiar with that term, and it's just what's used in industry. Now, benefits, to be blunt, is that you get to leverage all the team. And so, you know, you still want to make sure that you're staying on top of getting monthly or quarterly reports, asking questions, and just making sure that you're doing your part in keeping up to date with your own investment. You put in capital, you put your hard work and money, and it's important that you stay on top of that too in some kind of cadence. All right. Now, remember, no investment is 100% guaranteed, and that's why you want to stay on top of it. Now, something that's important to talk about here is alignment of interests. And when I talk about alignment of interests, what I'm talking about is, as a passive investor, you want to make sure that the interests of the operators are aligned to yours, right? Makes sense. That's part of an aspect of, you know, trust but verify is what we hear a lot. And it's no different here. So let's talk about this. So even though we're relying on the operator team, we want to make sure that they're doing what's best for the property and the investors, right? Trust, like we talked about this. And part of this is the alignment of interest. And what way do we do that? Is make sure that they're incentivized, the sponsorship team, the GP team is incentivized based on the way they get paid. Just a fact of life. We want to make sure that the reward people are getting is, and myself included, all right, human nature, that we're getting rewards based on the right metrics, right? The right direction. You know what I mean? So in this case, the sponsor and the GP team actually collect the fees for the work for managing the asset or the property. There's one reason why you're vetting the deal, right? And vetting the GP team is how they're getting compensated. This is how you want to make sure that you're understanding how the deal is structured, right? So the GP team needs investors to make the deal happen, and their future business depends on delivering to investor expectations, right? So the GP team wants to make sure that they get returns for the investors, Happy investors means that those investors are likely to invest again. And also, if you really like something, what do? You tell other people about it, right? Like, hey, I got this really cool thing. I'm really excited about this. I'm getting great results. Let me tell you about it. And so what that means is that the GP teams, they're making the investors happy. And so investors will bring their friends and family to be investors too. And this is how we think about the alignment of interest. Now, other benefits for the LPs is that because you're not doing the work, and I love this one a lot, right? We're leveraging our time here, all about leverage, is that you have geographic and asset class diversification. Passive investors in syndications, in LP, doesn't limit you to a single market or asset class in the same way being an active investor does. Where an active investor has teams of people they work with that specialize in taking care of a multifamily asset at a physical location, you don't need to do this as a passive investor. You have the flexibility to look at different asset classes, research different markets, get to know operators in different markets, and ultimately invest there too. So if you wanted to invest in Texas, and then Tennessee, and Florida, you can absolutely do that. It doesn't mean that you have to, but it means you could. You can invest in multifamily, you could invest in RV parks, in self-storage, whatever, because you're vetting operators, you're vetting the market as you increase your education experience, and you can invest there. So geographic and asset allocation agnostic. You see how that's a benefit. That is a huge one, right? All right. So now that you know a bit more about active investors and a bit more about passive, right, GP and the LP teams, why would you want to be either? I hope things are starting to click here as you learn about the benefits and advantage, right? So let's simplify this. To be blunt, if you want to be in control, right? So be active. If you want to be in control, you have the time or want to invest the energy, right, to learn everything you need to be on an active team, have the experience for a specific role or multiple hats in that operating team, that GP team, and you want to make more returns, then you should be active, right? Being passive, you're okay with being passive, and that's part of the strategy, right? We talked about the opportunity to leverage others while you're focused on what you like to do most. Maybe you don't even want to go and learn to analyze all these deals and look at all these markets and go to the conferences and talk to these people, but you want to leverage others because you know real estate is a really good strategy, right? So you either don't have the time or you would prefer just to do something else and still get great returns, right? Especially when compared to other things, like stocks, bonds, stuff like that. Like you don't get the tax benefits from like that from bonds, et cetera. Anyway, my point is this, is that maybe you don't have the time or would prefer to leverage others' time, right? Maybe you don't have that experience yet and you still want to get returns based on leveraging the operating team. Point is, what are your goals? So that is active and passive to summarize them. Now, from there, you can start to lean towards one or the other, and we can start thinking about, well, how do we mix these together, right? This is the last point before we begin wrapping up for today. It took a long time, took really too long for me to really start understanding and getting the idea of leverage. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of leveraging others. I am now. I had, you know, values probably just like yourself, working hard, putting in time, learning, figuring things out. And leveraging others so that I could get more time and buy back my time, which is something I'm working more and more on every day. But what I realize is time is more valuable than money. Shocker, I know, but it's true. And the extent that you can leverage people, technology, higher income skills, getting better your unique ability will really help move us forward. It really helped you move forward. And so how do we apply this to active and passive real estate? Well, the point is, if you could do both, if you wanted to fit in your lifestyle goals, you could, right? You can be an active investor and learn the skills, put in the time, build a network, sign your name on the loan, and the list goes on to be on the GP side, right? You can also be a limited partner and a passive, a limited partner and passive investor. Find a great operator in the market that you know and have researched, understand that market, and learn how to analyze a great deal in that asset, and then invest. Now, if you were to do both, and you don't have any background in commercial real estate to be on the GP side, then a common pattern is that you'll find these operators first, invest in the deal as an LP, and then learn as much as you possibly can, go to meetups, join the masterminds, develop the skills, and as you invest more in more deals, you'll get more proficiency on your way to being part of a GP team. All right, so that's how you would, those are some of the paths. Now, that brings up for the recap. Today, we covered a lot, right? We covered a lot today. We covered the definitions of active and passive investor in a little more depth than on that syndication episode last week. We got to go deeper on the benefits of the active investors, passive investors, including touching on that active investors get control. They're the captains of the ship, so to speak, and that they get paid in multiple different ways. As a passive investor, you have leverage, reduced risk, higher flexibility of what you can invest in and where you can invest. We talked about aligned interest as well. Super important because we want to make sure the people that we're investing with, we trust them to do the right thing. Why? Because it's how they get paid. And we talked about why you'd want to be either of these based on benefits and advantages. We broke that down a little bit. So get an idea a little bit more. And then we also answered the question that you could do both and how you might go about doing that as well. Bringing us to one of my favorite parts, which is the quote of the day. So the quote of the day is, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere. If you don't know where you're going, you'll end up somewhere. Brought to you by American baseball player who's an 18-time All-Star and won 10 World Series, Yogi Berra. All right, so what do we have for you? What do we have for you in the action of today? The action for today is to make a decision on where you would like to go and what you will target. What do you want to be? Do you want to learn everything, put in the time to be, you know, active, or do you want to be a passive investor, or maybe you want to take that path, just like I said, to go from passive on your way to active? And I know I say sort of three questions, but if you haven't been doing real estate before, and you don't have millions of dollars or a network that you can raise money directly to be part of a GP team, which is a route too. But my target audience here and the people that I'm speaking to are those that are more just getting started and want to invest. But really it's, if you can and you want to be an active investor, go that way. If you want to be a passive investor and you want to leverage others, go that way. And if you're starting out with little knowledge and you want to eventually be on the GP team, then start as passive and go to active. All right. Why? It's simple. You have to know where you're going. You have to know where you are. You have to know where you're going. Just like that quote. So when you look for resources to learn from, have conversations, you look at your investment portfolio and considering the all important thing, which is your lifestyle, right? When you build your business and investments to support your life, not the other way around, you know where you should focus your time. So that is our recap for today. So just wrapping up, I want to tell you that on a next episode, an upcoming episode, we're going to be talking about the Securities Exchange Commission, or SEC, and who can invest in deals anyway. Seems pretty important, right? What deals can you invest in? Am I qualified to? All those types of questions. So if you'd like to know about, you know, how the SEC looks at investors, how to stay out of trouble in deals and protect yourself, we'll be diving into accredited and non-accredited investors and building relationships with general partners or sponsors of that deal so that we can start to get to know them so we can actually get deals to vet. So if this helped you, please share and let me know what you enjoyed. And let me know what you enjoyed. Reach out to me on Instagram at the.real.arita, or you can email me at steven@aritacapital.com. Also, I always have to say this, is that if you have topics that you would love to hear about, please let me know. I want to hear from you. getting questions from you helps me to build more content directly to the questions that you have. And that makes it a better experience for everyone. So thank you for joining me this episode of Path to Passive, Real Estate for Tech Professionals. I will see you next time. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Path to Passive. We love connecting with our listeners and those on the path to architecting their wealth and improving their lives. Feel free to let us know what topics you'd like to see in future episodes. Get in touch with us through email or Instagram. See you next week for a new episode.